Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. My name is Kenny Bedwell, and guess what? My Airbnb guest just sued me. Well, actually, not just sued me, about 4 years ago. And that's what I'm going to talk about, because one of the lessons I've learned in real estate, I heard it from a lot of people getting started, older folks, of course, and they're like, you haven't been in real estate long enough until you've been sued. So I always thought that that meant, you know, sued from people not paying rent on time, just like going back and forth like eviction notices. But that's not really what they meant. They meant actually sued by either tenants or people leasing for other reasons. And I experienced that. And I'm still actually experiencing it now because the case has still not been settled. But I want to share my experience with you, to tell the story, how it went down, exactly what you need to do in case and if this ever happens. And then finally, my tips, my personal tips on how to protect yourself in this episode. In the part two episode, I'm bringing on a special guest, an actual attorney. We're going to talk about this. What do you do? How do you handle it? How do you protect yourself with the right asset protection and given your situation? And so that's what we're going to cover. Really important episode. And just to help you out and understand to protect yourself if and when you are sued for an incident at your property. So let's start with the story. My property was, so this happened in October 2021. I had a guest come and We had an older property in Buffalo, downtown Buffalo, that had a porch on the second level that the upper unit had access to. Now, the problem with the porch is that it had a big step down and there weren't really any porch lights. Okay. So basically, you had to kind of step up to open the door. Like it was like this big metal screen door. This was a really, really old house. It wasn't the balcony. I say porch, it's a balcony. The balcony really wasn't meant to be like a full-on, like useful balcony, I guess. It is, but it's an older house, so it's not built up to code. So there's no railings. There's, you know, the steps are quite steep. And we had a guest. So first off, I 2 days into the reservation on a Sunday, they checked in Friday. They were there for a wedding. On Sunday, I get a message from the guest that her father tripped, fell on the balcony and broke his collarbone, and that he was going to have to stay here. He had to miss the wedding. He's in the hospital, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. First off, one of the most important things that you can do in this situation is not incriminate yourself, not go, oh yeah, I knew about the balcony, or, you know, oh yeah, you got to be careful on that thing, it's dangerous. But just go, you know, hey, generally, is this person okay? You know, and they're like, oh no, he's going to be this. And then they said, we're probably going to have to, you know, settle some agreement about this accident. I'm like, whoa, whoa, what? You know, because I don't have any evidence that it happened. It's right now all hearsay. It's just kind of like somebody tripped and I just, you know, take what I. And so, you know, I started talking to them. I said, well, first, let's just make sure he's okay. And then I actually called them later, because I wanted to get the full story in here, because it was just on Airbnb, the actual messages on what happened from messages. And I'm like, it was still muddy and not clear. And so I called them. And this is the story I got. The father-in-law, Friday night, they wouldn't say he was drinking, but we presume he was drinking. And there was a lot of alcohol in the house after, like empty bottles and things in the house afterwards. So, you know, let's connect the dots on that one. But father-in-law went outside on the balcony and tripped and fell, and apparently slept on it. It felt funny, and went to the hospital the next day and found out that he had a broken collarbone. Now, for some of you who are physicians, you're probably chuckling going, well, if you had a broken collarbone, you would know about it because it would be really painful. So that's at least all my physician friends said. So for me, when I'm looking at a situation like this, I'm like, huh, I don't have the full picture. No one really does. So we can only assume that he was drinking or doing maybe some sort of narcotics to, you know, that would dull the pain so he wouldn't know it. Fell, tripped and fell. It hurt. He went to bed, slept on it, woke up the next morning, was like, ow, I feel it. Now I need to go to the hospital. And that's what he did. And he broke his collarbone. So the problem, though, is after when I was talking to them, they kept mentioning about some sort of compensation for the hospital and they're going to have to take extra flights and all this stuff. And I was just like, whoa, 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 like this is too far. And I basically said, look, guys, like, you know, you're saying things that I'm not going to attest to. I'm not going to say yes or no to. And at this point, you're going to have to speak to my attorney. I laid it on him. And so at that point, they stopped and they said, okay, like we're probably going to file an insurance claim. And the guy said, you know, he was actually an insurance adjuster. And he's like, yeah, like I'll just fire, you know. And if honestly, like I'm not in this, so like I'm not trying to take money from you. I'm not trying to go after you. I just want to make sure that my medical bills are covered for this incident because it wasn't my fault. So long story short, they ended up suing. And when they sued, the structure I had in place was the property is an LLC. However, my LLC got sued and I personally got sued as well. Like literally served. Guy came to my house and served me a notice. And what I learned is that the LLC didn't actually protect me from the lawsuit. Everyone gets sued. That's what attorneys do. They sue everyone and then they figure it out later. And so my personal name was still sued and it's still on the lawsuit. And as owner of the LLC, it'd be the same situation. I own that LLC. Therefore, I am personally sued as well. And so that was my first like lesson that LLCs don't actually protect you. Okay, even if it was a Wyoming LLC, they could still find you and go after the owner of that LLC. Somebody owns that business and that business is being sued and you have to respond to that. So the protection of one thing I learned about LLCs is the protection of LLCs is purely for tax purposes, meaning like you're putting a property in an LLC, whether it's for financing, meaning like regarding it as a separate entity, which is great for permits and regulation, and also for taxes and doing your accounting and your books separately to show that this is a business so that you can write off certain expenses rather than just showing it as like a personal, like something like a hobby or something. But it's not really pure asset protection, whether it's in Wyoming or Delaware or the state that it's in, it's not pure asset protection. Okay. So what happened when I got sued though, is they sued Airbnb as well. And that's really what they were going after was Airbnb, but because I'm part of it, then I get dragged along. And so Airbnb got sued and they provided representation. Now I will say, number one, awesome that Airbnb is helping protect and is on my side and they have provided an attorney and they're fighting it. But number two, I also had really good insurance. I had proper insurance. And when I got sued, I called them and they said, Kenny, whenever they ask for your health insurance or not your health insurance, but your actual like insurance, give them our number. We'll personally take care of it. You don't need to worry about it. You're protected. And so sure enough, like they asked for the information and because they sued Airbnb first, proper said Airbnb has to deal with this and then we'll deal with it if they lose to protect your site. So Airbnb is the reason why it's taken so long. And this is the, you know, this how it is that the insurance companies are denying the claim because the guy is, and then Airbnb is refusing to settle because the guy reported it the day after. He doesn't actually have any proof that it happened at the property besides that, you know, this balcony step was really steep and that, you know, they took pictures of it, but there's no actual proof that it happened on the property. And the fact that it wasn't reported until the next day, boom, like connect the dots there. It's kind of a sketchy story. So obviously something was involved there and that's why it's been denied. Now, the problem though, is I have personally been deposed, meaning I was asked by the attorney and brought forth before questioned by the opposition, the other attorney, just a bunch of random questions that happened 4 years ago. That happened almost a year ago, actually got deposed. And it was just an interview where they asked me questions. Did you know about this step? Did you have it listed in your property that they could use the balcony? Did they do this? Did they do that? And frankly, I mean, it's been 4 years and the listing has changed over time and I don't even have a listing anymore. I'm like, I don't even remember, you know? And, you know, my best defense is kind of ignorance on that side. But the fact of the matter is like, there isn't a whole lot for them to go after in a sense of, you know, like the story and, you know, should I be held accountable and all these different things. Now, will they settle? I'm hoping so. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I check in every now and then. We never hear back. And then when they need something, they reach out, but it's like once a year. And like I said, this has been going on for 4 years. Has this held me back from any lending or other things? No, but it just sucks. And it's something that probably most people here who are getting involved in real estate will inevitably be impacted. And so, which leads me to the second point here is how can you protect yourself if that's the case? If you know you're going to be sued inevitably, and I think that's the approach we should take, how do you protect yourself? The simple answer is good insurance. Protect yourself with good insurance. Okay. I always, 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 when I'm vetting an insurer, I always make sure that, you know, I have good coverage, meaning like, what's the life? If this were to happen and, you know, there was an incident, this collarbone apparently was, the surgery was $400,000. Insane amount of money. If it's really that much, like, What are people doing to protect themselves if that incident happens? Do you have the coverage for that? So number one, having the right coverage is really important, especially for short-term rentals. A lot of hosts, believe it or not, don't have the right insurance. Okay. And then, you know, one thing that's not, you know, that's happening that's more common than being sued as a natural disaster. And so having the right insurance, we just had a big natural disaster happen in Kentucky with flooding. A lot of property, short-term rentals, got flooded and people didn't have flood insurance. So I saw this in Asheville too, Asheville, North Carolina. So when these things happen, are you protected? Do you have the right insurance? Do you have wind, flood, hail? Now people, oh, I'm not in a floodplain. Okay, well, what happens if? Is that a possibility? Can that happen? Are you near water? Like, what's the possibilities there? You need to be asking these questions beyond just, can I be sued? Or, you know, if there's a hurricane or an earthquake or fire or whatever, all of these situations you need to think through with your properties. What's the plan? What happens if this happens? Like these things, something will happen to one of your properties inevitably. Are you prepared for that? What's the plan? If your house got burnt down, what would you do? One of the problems I see with a lot of insurance carriers is they don't provide loss of income. So these properties in Kentucky that got flooded, not only do they not have flood insurance, they don't have loss of income insurance for their Airbnb bookings. So now they're just sitting on a mortgage. They're just having to pay a mortgage and the property's flooded. It needs work now and they got to pay that out of pocket. And so there's a lot of layers of complexity here. Protect yourselves. Insurance is the best route to protect yourselves from any of these worst case scenarios that I'm talking about. Okay. Having great asset protection is cool if you have a very high net worth. And I'm talking over 5 million. A lot of people, oh, I got to get the Wyoming LLC. I got to get the multi-layered, the LPs and the, you know, limited partners. And then the, what's the, you know, the irrevocable trust and all this like great stuff. And yeah, if you have a net worth over 5 million, I probably would be getting really complicated on my asset protection to make sure that they're not trying to go after you personally. But the reality is if you have good insurance, most of us, I'll put myself in the category, right? As of today, we're really not worth that much, right? And there isn't really a whole lot to go after. But in a few years, absolutely, there's going to be a lot to go after, but my protection will change. I'll have good insurance, but I'll also protect myself through all some of this, what we call layering. And that's really like what you need to start thinking about too as you get into this game. Most of you listening to this, you have one, two, maybe three properties. You know, if you have one or zero or one property, just get good insurance. You don't need to worry about all these crazy structures. As you get to two, three properties, now you need to start really structuring out your portfolio and better protecting yourself in case something were to happen. And so, you know, putting properties in LLCs is great, but it's not necessary to put it in an LLC to protect yourself. In fact, it doesn't actually protect yourself by just putting it in an LLC. So that, and don't make investment decisions purely about asset protection. I think that's another mistake I see some investors I come and talk to. They're like, well, yeah, I got to buy an LLC. Well, why do you have to do that? Because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get sued. And it's like, oh, you'll still get sued if you put in an LLC. That's not going to stop you. And they're like, what? And I'm like, not only will you still potentially get sued and liable, you're also going to have a higher interest rate because it's going to be a commercial loan that you have to do to put a property in an LLC. It's harder to do that. I think it's easier to buy it in your personal name than quit claim deed it into an LLC if you decide to do that. So now that doesn't necessarily work for everyone. So please keep that in mind. And just to disclaim everything I've said here, you really need to talk to an attorney if you're really trying to set up the right asset protection. But the biggest thing I see with attorneys is they try to sell you the sun, the moon, the stars, and you don't need it. Ultimately, you need good insurance. And it's always a good idea to have an attorney or someone look over your insurance policy that knows what they're doing to make sure it's covering you in the right places. Because when and if you inevitably get sued, you got to be protected. And that's the best way to do it. So was there anything I could do? Hindsight's 2020, right? So sure, balcony, off limits, all that good stuff, screwed, nail it. But people still get around that. People can still trip and fall. People can still do stupid stuff. Did you know 70%, and this was a survey, 70% of vacation rental guests admitted that they drink while on vacation. There's nothing wrong with that. That's pretty normal, actually, right? Like relaxing, having a good time. But with alcohol, we know that there is increased risk of accidents happening. So you want to be protected, especially with your short-term rental property. Always check your insurance. Don't just go for the lowest offer. Always look through it and make sure it has the right protections. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a valuable lesson. And if you get sued, know that your insurance company will protect you, assuming you have the right coverage. And don't panic. Don't freak out. I definitely did. And after talking to cooler heads, I felt a lot better, especially after talking to the insurance. They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just send it over to us. We'll take care of it. That's good peace of mind you want to have too, if and when that event happens. So hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to listen to the next one. I'm bringing on an actual attorney who specializes in taxes as well. And he's going to be talking about asset protection and how to mitigate some of your tax bill as well together, which is really powerful stuff. So show up for the part two episode, because I personally think the story is awesome, but that stuff he's going to talk about is going to be really, really impactful and helpful for you in your situation. I'll see you on the next episode.